Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. More of your phone calls coming up. When Wendy's drops new tasty items on this menu, you know it's going to be good. Try the sauce and bacon cheeseburger, the BBQ cheeseburger, and peppercorn mushroom melt. Available at participating Wendy's. John Feinstein joins us every week at this time. John, how are you?
Hungry after that last read, Jonathan.
I'm hungry as well. I'm great. Great. Okay, so look, I know you don't, if NFL is not at the top of your priority list during the normal calendar year.
Correct.
We see the ratings.
Except when I'm doing a book.
That's right, yeah. The ratings, the lowest they've been in 10 years. How long did you stick with the game last night when the game was 3-0 going into the fourth?
No, I watched it.
Sorry.
My wife, it was 3-3, right? My wife and I have developed the perfect Super Bowl system because all she wants to see is a halftime show. So at halftime, I go upstairs, I get our 8-year-old daughter ready for bed, we read together. She's reading to me more now than I read to her. And then at the end of the halftime show, she comes up and gets me. She told me last night it was terrible. And I go watch the second half. And I stuck with it partly because it's the Super Bowl, but also because I think I've said this to you before. I don't care how much people dislike the Patriots. If you don't appreciate their greatness, then you're missing something. And I wanted to see, regardless of what, if the final score had been 6-3, I wanted to see if the baton was going to be passed to McVay and Goff, or if Belichick and Brady were going to hang in there and say, not yet. And in the end, they said, not yet. And all credit to them as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm a Jets fan, as you guys know, and the closest the Jets have been to that Lombardi trophy was when Joe Namath carried it last night in 50 years. But I have great respect for what Belichick and Brady and the Patriots have done, although I could certainly do without ever hearing Bob Kraft's voice again.
John, a 10-point game, tie going into the fourth, Goff threw the interception with a chance to go down and tie the game in the fourth.
Right.
I say all that, it just never felt really close. Even in the coaching matchup, just watching the game, are you surprised that Belichick won that battle as decisively as he did against McVay?
A little surprised.
Me too.
Not that he outcoached him, because many people have been outcoached by Belichick through the years? But you're right, because in terms of the coaching matchup, I mean, Belichick just completely outcoached McVay's offense with his defense. And I hope Brian Flores becomes a great NFL coach, but let's be honest, when you're the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, even though he never had the title, he was, Belichick's the defensive coordinator. And they came with all those different looks and all those stunts and had the Rams and McVay, who calls all the plays, completely confused throughout the game. I think their longest pickup of the game was that 19-yard pass play on the drive that ultimately led to the interception. So I was surprised. But I will say this, I give McVay credit, because the first thing he said was, I got outcoached. And there are a lot of guys who would have found different ways to avoid saying that. And he just said, I got outcoached. I didn't do enough for my team tonight. And that's another reason why I think he will eventually be a great coach. He's not there yet. He's a very good young coach. He's not a great coach yet, and Belichick proved that last night.
So, John, I'm watching this game, and I kept thinking about experience versus lack thereof in the game with the coaches. And then I started thinking about where the league is headed. Everyone's out there looking for the next Sean McVay, and certainly right. Every bit of evidence we've seen from Sean McVay has been great other than last night. But you see who shined last night. Wade Phillips, his defensive coordinator. He has some experience. Of course, Bill Belichick. And then I try to reason that with where the league is headed in terms of pretty much every coaching hire out there. And that is everyone's looking for the next young thing. When you look at where the league is headed and still what happened last night, where are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a great question, Chad. But it's not unique to the NFL or even to football to be looking for the next great young thing. I mean, we're always doing that in sports, aren't we? I mean, I remember Jennifer Capriati as a teenager in tennis, Tiger Woods when he first came along, the young guns golf has right now. You know, there's always excitement about something or someone that is new and young. I think that's human nature. But here's the question I ask, and I'm asking you guys this question. When was the last time you heard anybody say or write that an organization was looking for the next Bill Belichick?
That's a great question.
Well, I think it's presumed you can't find him, so we move on to the next
one. Well, that may be, Paul, but why would you assume that you can find the next Sean McVay? McVay may be as unique as Belichick, for all we know. I mean, just because you're young and had coffee once with Sean McVay doesn't mean you're going to be Sean McVay. But I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, we got to go out and find a guy who's a defensive genius, and who is, you know, lives and breathes football the way Belichick does. McVay's a much more appealing character because he's young and because he's a good-looking guy and because he's very outgoing. Belichick is neither young nor necessarily, I don't think, good-looking. I'm not a great judge of that kind of stuff, and certainly not outgoing in public. But, damn, he's the greatest coach that ever lived.
Also weird, too, that everyone wants the next Sean McVay. I mean, I would have said this prior to last night, when, I mean, yeah, he led the team to the Super Bowl this year, but it's not like it's some, you know, over and over again type deal. Like, we saw 1 year of this guy, and everyone wants the next guy like him. And to your point, everyone trying to get the next Bill Belichick, it's not that simple.
No, it's not that simple, but, you know, sometimes you got to look under rocks for things. And hope you find something. But you're right. I'm not saying you just point out, well, that guy's a successful defensive coordinator. He's going to be Bill Belichick. Romeo Crennel was a great defensive coordinator under Belichick. We'll see what happens with Brian Flores. And the fact is that the guys coming from the Belichick coaching tree have not really done that well, when they've gone out on their own. But that may be because Belichick does so much, on his own. But, you know, the point about McVay, I'll look at this two ways, Jonathan. One, he took over a dysfunctional team. The Rams had been 4-12 and proceeded to go 11-5 and make Goff into a good quarterback and make the playoffs last year and then makes a Super Bowl this year. But the flip side, I agree with you, is let's be honest, if the officials don't miss that call, they're not in the Super Bowl. And the other thing I would say is, Look at what happened when Andy Reid matched up with a young quarterback versus Belichick versus what happened with McVay. There is something to be said for the experience of a guy like an Andy Reid. And of course, you can't just, you know, tap a magic wand and say you're experienced. You got to grow as you go. But I would also make the case that if the Saints had been in the Super Bowl, they would have scored more than 3 points.
John, Chad came in and said it this morning, and Ian O'Connor, who's written about Belichick and the Patriots, headline on his piece at ESPN.com this morning, it's time to appreciate this Patriots dynasty as the greatest in sports. I know Bill Russell and the Celtics might argue, but the context was quite different. NFL's built to make teams 8-8 and to create parity. Six Super Bowls in, what is it, 14, 17 years.
18 years.
18 years with all the turnover they've had.
Going 9 out of 18 years also.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
right.
Where would you rank it?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, let's make the list of candidates. Certainly you mentioned, Paul, the Bill Russell Red Auerbach Celtics, who won 11 titles in 13 years in a different era, no doubt. You got to put John Wooden's UCLA dynasty in there. 10 titles in 12 years in a single elimination event. You know, people point out there were fewer teams in the tournament and they only had to win 4 games, 9 of their 10 titles and 5 in another. You can't lose once. Now, the NFL is single elimination too, once you get to the playoffs. So I think those are, and then the Yankees.
Four and five.
Four out of five, and also 100 years, really. I mean, starting with the, really, 1927, you know, Murderers Row, and they won, what, 27 world titles, I think. So they have to be on that list. But I think you can make the case, and I'm sure Ian made it eloquently, for the Patriots and Belichick, because as you point out, Paul, the NFL is built to make you go 8-8. It's built on parity. I think 5 of the 12 teams that made postseason last year, made postseason, just made it to postseason, made it back this year. And so the fact that the Patriots have been, I think, 16 of the last 18 years is remarkable in itself. So, I could I argue the Celtics and Russell and Auerbach? I could. I certainly could. But if you want to say it's the Patriots and Belichick and Brady, I'm fine with that argument.
John, the NFL certainly screws a lot of things up, but they got it right with their ad for the 100th anniversary of the league last night, which was universally applauded with all of the cameos they had in there. It was fun.
3 days of
film. It was on point, and they should give a raise to whatever ad agency came up with that spot.
Yeah, it was very good. It was excellent. Although, generally speaking, I thought the commercials last night were pretty boring. Although I have to say the one that meant the most to me, and you'll understand this, was the one for the Washington Post at the 2-minute warning. That Tom Hanks narrated. I thought that was a great ad, not only for the paper, but for journalism in general. But yeah, the NFL got that one right. But I'm going to throw this in. Roger Goodell spent a lot of time this week trying to wrap himself in the civil rights movement. He brought up Martin Luther King and John Lewis and Andrew Young right away at the start of his State of the NFL press conference, in which he did one of the great dance routines I've ever seen on the New Orleans debacle. And of course they had John Lewis and Andrew Young there for the toss of the coin. You know what they should have done? They should have done two things yesterday. They should have recognized Rosa Parks, who would have turned 106 today. And this is Black History Month, February. And, they should have had Gladys Knight sing not only the Star Spangled Banner, but the Black National Anthem, which is, by the way, a beautiful song. I think that would have been appropriate and had a lot more meaning than Roger Goodell saying, oh, Martin Luther King is from Atlanta and all that other stuff that he likes to spout, as we all know.
Can you do too much to where it looks like you're pandering if you're the league in the NFL?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this yesterday, even watching the pregame from CBS. There is a level of respect you must show, but there is a fine line also between doing the right thing and putting out there what you need to. And then coming across as, oh, here's the league telling us how much they love the troops or how much they love the civil rights movement or whatever it may be.
Well, the love the troops thing and wrapping themselves in the flag is nothing new for the NFL. They've been doing it for years.
Or any sports league for that matter.
Yeah, although the NFL is the one that had a financial arrangement with the Pentagon there for a while. So they're on a different level. But yes, I agree with you, Chad. There is a line between honor and pandering. And that's why I would rather have had Roger Goodell not say anything in his press conference, just get down to work, you know, and say, okay, fellas, ask me about New Orleans, I'm ready. Just showing respect. 70% of the players in the NFL are African American. So playing the Black National Anthem, I don't think would have been inappropriate under the circumstances, especially in Atlanta, which has been so much a part of the civil rights movement through the years. But I agree with you, Chad. There is a line between respect and pandering, and you have to be careful with that.
Do you feel for New Orleans fans today?
Yes, I do. I do. And I'm not a fan of the Saints. I'm not a fan of the Rams. I am a fan of Drew Brees for everything he's done on and off the football field as a person and as a quarterback. The Saints should have played in that game. Would they have won? I have no idea. We'll never know. Roger Goodell's answer to the questions about that missed call could not have been less satisfying in my mind. He never actually said the words, I'm sorry. He said, I wish the call would have been made. Well, everybody wishes the call would have been made. And, you know, and then he went on about how we don't necessarily want pass interference to be reviewable. I get all that. But how about saying, you know, the call was badly missed. Our referee, Bill Vinovich, handled the post game horribly by saying, I didn't see the play. I mean, whether he saw it live or not, the first thing you do in that situation when you get in your locker room before you talk to the pool reporters, you look at the replay. And then you say, yeah, we missed it. We feel terrible. Remember what Jim Joyce did? I think I brought this up last week when he blew the call on what would have been a perfect game. Yep. He went, looked at the video, said, oh, my God, I missed it. And nobody from the NFL has apologized yet. I mean, Goodell said, well, I've spoken to the owner. I've spoken to Sean McVay. I've spoken to players. I'd like to know which players he talked to. I haven't heard one Saints player say he talked to Roger Goodell yet. His answer was terrible. And if I were, I'm not a Saints fan, and I was angered by it. If I were a Saints fan, I'd be furious.
AP gets the first question in tradition at that Goodell State of the League presser. Barry Wilner, I respect a great deal, known him for a long time.
Me too.
Chose to ask a Rooney Rule question there,
right,
which infuriated me because it delayed getting to the question that was on everybody's mind.
Fifth question was the Saints question.
Yeah, and so then you get to people who have regional questions in mind,
right,
and aren't going to come off of what they're there for.
Guy, sports guy, before.
Yeah. Do you object to AP not going straight to the heart of the matter?
You know, I think what Barry was doing, I haven't spoken to him, I can't read his mind, was he was asking what he considered to be a universal question for the league as opposed to a question that might have been considered more regional. However, I would say in this circumstance, that should have been the first question. The first question should have been, Commissioner, everybody knows what happened in New Orleans. Can you tell us, you know, what your view of it is, and nobody ever asked this, has there been or will there be any discipline for the officials involved in that horrible mess up? But yeah, I understand what Barry was doing, and he obviously knew the question would be asked about New Orleans. But yes, if I'd had the first question, you know, as a Washington Post reporter or anything like that, I would have asked about New Orleans right away, because that's what was on. I was watching the press conference for one reason, to hear what he said about New Orleans.
Same here.
John Feinstein joins us every Monday. John, thank you as always. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks.